very warm good evening and welcome to all of you. Thank you for coming this evening here for this program. I think all of you must be feeling very happy to hear the presentation made by Dr. Sparsh. When he was here as a student for MBBS in the JNMC, he came in contact with our temple here, and from that time he was always clear that he wanted to not be a regular doctor in the sense of going through the corporate hospitals and such things. He wanted to do something different. He wanted to be more in the mood of how people or students in earlier years used to take up the profession of medicine. Medicine has always been known as a noble profession. And the motivation for most students in the old days used to be that they wanted to serve people. Service was the primary motivation. However, as the society changed very dramatically, year after year, decade after decade, the whole society became very materialistic, and it is becoming increasingly so. And naturally, because the entire society was becoming like that, the students who were growing up and wanted to look for careers were also influenced by those careers where they felt they could make a lot of money, where there was a lot of prestige, there was some name and fame, etc. And the parents used to also push them in that direction. When I was growing up, there were only two professions that the parents would encourage: be a doctor, be an engineer. That's all. We didn't have any other third choice. So, gradually that spirit of wanting to take up this profession because of that spirit of service started diminishing. It is not that it is not there. Even now, there are many, many doctors who do have that spirit, who have that desire to want to do something. But the harsh realities of modern day living, especially in the urban areas, is making it hard for such service-oriented doctors to fulfill their desires. So when Dr. Sparsh was talking about these ideas for many years, and I had no idea or no intention at that time to start any medical project, because I understand the complications involved, because I was also earlier associated, and I still am, with the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and I have seen what kinds of challenges that any hospital setup has to face. And from the inside, I have experienced that. So I did not personally want to get involved until we had a team that naturally arose. I was thinking that if Lord Krishna provides a team that comes along, if things organically happen, then it will happen. But on my own, I did not have any intention of taking the initiative to start a medical project. Then somehow Dr. Sparsh finished MBBS, and then he went on for post-graduation. He did not take the usual popular branches, radiology, ophthalmology, or pediatrics, or whatever it is, internal medicine. He chose family medicine. And when his parents took him to several doctors in Agra, they all discouraged him. And they said, I think that they said there's something wrong with him, because he's taking a field which is not going to be paying much money. What is the meaning of taking family medicine? You should take something that is more, you know, glamorous. But he was very firm. And he had been talking about it from the time he even concluded his MBBS studies. So I was just observing him for many years. See, to start something in the villages and make this kind of sacrifice is not an easy thing. And many people are idealistic. We have seen that, you know, we have, even in our young days, we were very idealistic. Therefore, we took on such, you know, a kind of a way of life. So idealism is something that is natural, but it has to stand the test of time. So he passed the test of time. So after seeing him for many years, I understood that he is very firm in his desire to do this. It is not just a passing fancy. It is not just some, shall we say, temporary idealism that most young people go through. Just like you have people who become Naxalites, they go through that phase, injustice in the society, we want to set it right, they take up some Marxist revolutionary path. So I have seen all these things in young people going through different phases. So I wanted to be sure that this is not the case with Dr. Sparsh, and I must say that he passed with flying colors. So then I thought, I think it is Lord Krishna's intention. He is presenting such a dynamic, young, enthusiastic, sincere person. He really wants to be there where that such medical help is required the most, where people are suffering the most. And then I felt that it will not be right on my part to not afford a platform to him. So we discussed with our devotees, and Dr. Anand, being himself from a medical background, he's an MBBS himself, we had long discussions and we said, yes, we should go for it. And that is how, that is the genesis of this whole little project. It is still in the very, very early stages, and the signs have been encouraging. And some of the things that we are trying out here are quite unusual. Dr. Sparsh did mention the Dakshina model. In 1998, when the Bhaktivedanta Hospital was about to start, it started actually in 98, I had tried suggesting the Dakshina model there, but I knew that it wouldn't work in a city like Bombay. In the urban areas, it is very hard to try such a model. But I thought the best chance of success was in the rural areas. And the experience of the last few months, as Sparsh has said, has been very positive. Because the patients, even if they are poor, they are touched. Their hearts are touched when they see such sincerity there. And they feel that it is our duty to maintain this doctor. Because after all, he will also have to live. He also has to survive. He will have a family. How will he maintain everything? So far, his parents are supporting financially also to some degree because they are well off. But eventually, it has to stand on its own feet. So it is a very interesting experiment that we are trying. So far, the signs are very good. And we hope and pray that it will grow. Some of you have been very nicely supporting this project, and we are very grateful for that, and I'm sure many more will come forward. I have not deliberately propagated this or publicized this very much. This is the first time we are having a public kind of a program to talk about this. I know doctors in many other cities in the country and also outside of India, and when they heard about it, not from me but from here and there, they all wanted to come, and I have to stop them, say no, wait, we are not ready for you yet. So because we don't want to, I have no idea at this time also to build some kind of a grand hospital. That is not the concept, as Dr. Sparsh has explained, and he is also very clear. We want small setups but decentralized in many places at a primary level, where the villagers will have help available at practically at their doorstep, where we give health in a very accessible, affordable and holistic manner, which is full of care.
in the modern urban medical setup, even though many of the consultants and doctors are very keen to offer a very good service, they are limited by circumstances. They face many challenges, so it is not possible sometimes. But in this kind of a setup, it is possible. And another aspect of this project is the holistic care, where we don't only deal with the physical body, we not only deal with the mind, but we also deal with the soul, with the Atma. You see, in our Shastras, in our scriptures, two types of diseases are spoken about. One is called the Deha Roga. Deha means the body. So the diseases of the body. And that is what doctors are generally dealing with. And by Deha, I also include Manasa, which is the mind. So there is psychiatry and so on. But there is another more dangerous, deadly Roga, which is called Bhava Roga. Now, as far as the Deha Roga is concerned, we all have experience of it. We all acknowledge it. We all recognize it when it comes. And we are all very much, shall we say, insecure about it. Nobody wants to fall sick. And if there is some sickness, we are insecure. We are nervous that it should not progress into something worse. And everybody is conscious of Deha Roga. Even though we experience Bhava Roga, but we are not conscious of its ramifications, of its implications. What is this Bhava Roga? Bhava means to become. Become what? To become diseased, to become old, to become dead, to become born again. So this cycle of birth and death that the soul or the Atma has to go through is a kind of bondage that is very strong. This Bhava Roga means Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam in the language of Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Krishna says that the basic misery of this world is that we are repeatedly undergoing birth, death, old age and disease. None of us want to experience these things, but they are forced upon us, including birth. Yes, disease, old age and death, we all understand. But birth, to the degree that we undergo the pain of birth, to that degree mother will remember, the children don't remember, we never remember what we went through when we were born. And as far as a mother is concerned, it is called labor pain, not labor pleasure. So to this extent, we are also aware of birth, death, old age, disease. But what we are not aware of is that this is a continuing cycle. It is not just in one lifetime. Then when death comes, again there is birth. And the cycle repeats. When death comes, yet again there is birth. So this repetitive cycle of birth, death, old age and disease is called samsara chakra. The wheel of samsara, having to be born again, dying again, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, repeatedly. This is a very terrible disease. It is a root of Deha Roga. It is only because we have born that we have a body, or rather shall we say, it is only because we are conceived that we have a body. So nowadays we talk about terminal disease, isn't it? Cancer or so many other, if it's at a certain, it has metastasized, etc. We say it is terminal. But from a spiritual point of view, what we understand is that birth itself is a terminal disease. I'm choosing my words very carefully. Birth itself is a terminal disease. And not just birth, I will go a few months before that. Conception itself is a terminal disease, because nowadays so many children are killed in the womb. in India itself, not less than 15 million abortions happen every year. Very unfortunate and tragic. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam declares, or the Bhagavad Gita declares, Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu dhruvam janma mrtasya cha. When one is born, death is certain, and when one dies, birth is certain. So this bhavaroga is the cycle of repeated birth and death. So long as the atma or the soul is stuck in this cycle, we will have to experience the deha or the body. And when the deha is there, then all the diseases that go with it will also come. So if we want a permanent solution to deha roga, we have to find a permanent solution to bhava roga. Medical knowledge is very important, very useful, and all of us, even if we are following the spiritual path, avail of it. But the root cause of deha roga also has to be analyzed. Sometimes in medicine, and most of you are doctors here, you try out some therapy by trial and error means. Trial and error therapy, because you're not quite sure what exactly is the diagnosis. It could be this, it could be that, it could be this. Sometimes diagnostics are also not clear. We are not sure exactly. So you try this antibiotic, try that medicine, you try this or you try that. So until the diagnosis is clear, the medicine cannot be given very accurately. By trial and error, it may click sometimes. And if the patient is cured, then all is well. But if the patient is not cured, then you have to think of other alternatives. So before we give the right medicine, it is important to know the right disease. That is something that is a common truism for all of us. At the same time, if our understanding of the real disease is restricted only to the deha roga and we are not familiar with the concept of the bhava roga, then we will not be able to make a permanent solution to our suffering. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has given us some solutions, which are the spiritual solutions. It is not that the material solutions, as I said, have to be neglected. No, so long as the deha is there, we have to deal with it. We have to feed it, we have to clothe it, we have to protect it, and we have to cure it when necessary. But side by side with the material must go the spiritual. For true happiness, we need a balance of the material and the spiritual. So what is this bhavaroga solution? What is the remedy for this? First of all, spiritual knowledge. Just as the doctor first of all tries to educate the patient about what his or her disease is. What is the cause of this? And then there is a lifestyle that goes with it along with the medicine. So similarly, the first step for the treatment of the bhava roga is to understand the disease itself and to take it seriously. One of the frustrations of doctors may be that the patient doesn't take seriously the particular ailment. And the patient takes it lightly. Then the doctor has to say, no, you have to stop smoking. You have to do this, otherwise you will have this problem. It will get worse. Don't take it lightly. So knowledge is very important. So similarly, for solving the bhava roga, spiritual knowledge is the foundational thing that is required. But it is not only theoretical knowledge or intellectual understanding. It must be translated into practical action. Jnana and Vijnana. The Vijnana is the actual experienced knowledge. So what kinds of spiritual things does one take up? So the Bhagavatam speaks about the path of pure devotion to Lord Krishna as a means to transcend the body. Even as we live within the body, even as we experience the sufferings of the body, but we do not stop our spiritual activities. We continue that, understanding that this body will die anyway one day. And then I will have to be born again. So the real solution is to stop that next birth. Is to ensure that I don't get a deha again. Then there is no question of deha roga. Of course, committing suicide is not the way to get rid of a deha permanently, because we will get another deha. And because that kind of suicide is a sin, so we will get terrible suffering in the next life. That is the unfortunate situation of suicide. So that knowledge must be backed by actual spiritual practices. In the Puranas it is said that there are 84 lakh species of life. And in the different categories of species have also been mentioned. Some other time on some other forum perhaps we can speak about these more in detail, because you are all very much concerned with biology ultimately. But these different species have been mentioned, the number of species and so on and so forth. But the point is that the Atma or the soul has to go through these 84 lakh species to come to the human form of life. Manusham janma paryayat. After going through the entire 84 lakh species, one comes to the human form of life. Paryayat refers to an evolution that is different from Darwinian evolution. Charles Darwin and those who succeeded him spoke about evolution in a different sense. They spoke about evolution in terms of the development of the body itself. But here, the spiritual evolution that is spoken about in our scriptures is the evolving of the soul when it moves from one body to a body of a higher species. So from the plants, the Atma moves on to the higher species of the insects, the reptiles, and the birds, and the mammals, and then the human species. The human species represents the pinnacle of evolution. Not because the human being has some more power and other abilities. No, because the animals have more power. They can run faster, they can jump higher, they are stronger than human beings. But the characteristic of the human species is superior intelligence. And that superior intelligence has to be used for spiritual purposes according to our Shastra. So when that intelligence is utilized by acknowledging and understanding our situation and our suffering, that is the correct use. The animal suffers. The animal understands that it is suffering, but the animal cannot question its existence. It cannot ask the question, why am I suffering? The human being can do that. So when we ask the question, why am I suffering, then we go to a doctor. The doctor analyzes and finds the diagnosis, gives us the treatment, and we get better. But there are further questions to ask. Why have I got this body itself? That is a cause of the roga, of this disease. That is where spirituality comes in. So from Bhagavad Gita we understand that we receive this body because we want to live independently of God, because we have tried to disconnect ourselves from God. This is the root disease. Wanting to be separate, wanting to be independent. And nowadays we are so much absorbed in our material world that there is no time for God, there is no inclination for God. So our science and technology has many benefits, but it also has many distractions. And now we have social media. I was seeing a cartoon the other day where the patient is on the operating table and he has the phone and he's telling the anesthetist, please, please hold on for some time. I'm just updating my Facebook status to anesthetized. So this is the age we are living in, where we are totally absorbed in our social media, in our activities day to day, in our movies and enjoyment and eating and drinking and merrymaking, that we somehow do not recognize that there is a higher reality. There is some purpose of life, and that purpose of life is what Srila Prabhupada called Krishna consciousness, to be conscious of Krishna, who is our eternal source, who is our eternal father, our eternal mother. It is because we have forgotten that relationship of love, that bhakti to Lord Krishna, that we are here suffering in this samsara chakra. There is a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nivritta tarishairupagiyamanan bhavaushadashrotra manobhiramat ka uttamashloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vinapashubnat. So this verse says that if one in the company or association of like-minded people hears the messages of Lord Krishna, of Lord Hari, this is the perfect and most pleasing medicine for this bhava roga. Bhava aushada. The aushada means medicine. So this hearing and chanting about the messages of Lord Krishna is the perfect medicine for getting rid of this bhava roga. So who will not want to utilize this medicine? It is so simple, it is so pleasing. Manaha Abhirama. It is very pleasing to the mind, very pleasing to the ears. So the spiritual process of bhakti is extremely joyful. It gives us a lot of happiness, even as we are living here. So as we try to treat the suffering of people in this world, which is an undeniable fact, it is not sufficient to go to the level of the body alone. We must go also one step beyond to the mind and even one step beyond to the soul. So this project that we are envisaging to be in the villages is not only meant for curing the Deha Roga. It is also meant for curing the Bhava Roga. It is an integrated, holistic approach, where along with giving adequate and satisfactory treatment to the diseases of the body, we will also, all our people associated with it, whether they are medical or non-medical, will be hoping or attempting to effect a lifestyle change in the patients who come. The problem is essentially lifestyle. What comes by way of destiny cannot be helped. But what can be helped is our lifestyle, the choices that we make, the kind of habits that we want to have, the kind of diet we have, the kind of recreation we have. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna has very clearly explained that for one who wants to become free from misery, he has to regulate the ahara, nidra, etc. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta viharasya, yukta svapnava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkha. So one who wants to be free from misery must regulate one's life. The ahara, vihara, nidra, everything must be regulated. So real freedom from suffering comes from adopting a suitable lifestyle that will take care of the body, it will take care of the mind, and it will take care of the needs of the soul also. So this requires a suitable culture. A suitable culture where people will understand the importance of slowing down and calming down the mind. Okay, it's not just enough. Money, 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 enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. These are the only mantras that they know. But there is much more to life. If you want to be happy, you have to mold your life in a certain way. So our attempt to do these projects and outreach in the villages is not restricted to the body alone. Although that will be the primary, you know, activity going on there, of course. And we cannot neglect the body in the name of spirituality. We have to do justice to the body also. So the training that our doctors have received must be utilized appropriately. So that is overall a short vision of what we are attempting to do through this particular project. Transforming the society through culture, through lifestyle, through habits, through education, through livelihood and economics, through medical care. Villagers also are getting into a lot of bad habits. They are not far behind from the city people. So there is a very interesting future ahead in this project. And it is going to be an interdisciplinary collective effort from people coming from many backgrounds. And I would invite all of you to participate in whatever way is possible for you in this project. What is the time now? Ten past eight. 8:10. Okay. So, yes, Parsh, we are all with you. And for all those who are helping, we are very, very thankful to you. I think we can have some discussion now if you have any questions. I have just given a very brief idea and some small discussion on the spiritual aspect of the project as well. We want to approach it in a very comprehensive, integrated, holistic way. More and more people are now appreciating this. Even in America, people are realizing that the modern health system is incapable of dealing with all the medical problems of the population. There was one doctor devotee I know who was a radiologist in Hyderabad many years ago. Almost 15-20 years ago, he left and settled in America. And he was saying that now, officially, they are being asked to explore alternative therapies, not just allopathy. Because the modern allopathy system in America is not able to cope. The insurance, the financial implications, the government and the society is just not able to cope. It is so expensive. Even for the doctors, it is very expensive because they have to pay huge insurance premiums. And the medical legal complications, the whole medical system has become so complicated. So now they're encouraging allopathic doctors also to open their minds out into alternative therapies. So here in our country, we have a rich tradition of medical systems. We have Ayurveda, we have, you know, Yunani, we have Siddha. So we want to make this a kind of an integrated approach, but with an allopathic understanding where we know the limits. Many times what happens is that people following alternative systems make claims which are not really correct, and then that creates a bad name. But if it is followed very properly, then I think that this integrated approach will work very well. And we saw that in Dr. Sparsh's presentation, he has utilized many concepts from Ayurveda also. Dinacharya, Ritucharya, and many other concepts. The concept of using food as a means of healing. Food as medicine, which is a very important concept. I have been suggesting to many of our doctors who I know that, you know, in the MBBS syllabus, it will be nice if you have subjects dealing with food and diet. I don't know how much is taught nowadays in MBBS, very little is taught about food and diet, maybe just the basic proteins, vitamins. But food as a medicine, food as a therapy, food as a lifestyle, even proper ways of cooking food, what kind of oils to use, what kind of cooking mediums to use, what kind of foods to be taken in combinations. All of this is a very important part of care, health care. I was mentioning to some doctors that after this COVID pandemic, we have learnt many spiritual lessons. But we have also learnt many medical lessons. I am not a doctor, so I cannot speak in terms of other medical lessons, but one medical lesson that I think I have learnt is the importance of preventive health care. And modern medicine, with all its accomplishments and benefits and contributions to modern human society, is not up to the mark in this one aspect. Preventive health care. I think that if we can have an integrated approach towards this, it will be very, very helpful. And that is what we are trying to do here. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Do you have any comments? Many of you are doctors and some perhaps medical students and others also. Some of you are not medical students. Okay. So, is there any question or comment that any of you would like to make? Somebody has a hand raised there, can you? Okay, can a visit be organized to that place so that all can see what happens there? Whom to contact? You can contact Dr. Sparsh. Soon you will need some assistance because you'll start getting so many phone calls. Yes, you can please contact him. But please remember, we are in the very, very early stages right now. Now a clinic has been started and patients are coming. How many you have every day now coming on an average? 20 to 25 patients. And because he gives generic medicines, right? So it is really very cheap. So the Dakshina actually covers it. But when you give branded medicines, then it is so expensive. That is another whole problem with the modern medical system, the connection with the pharmaceutical industry, that has made everything so expensive. You see, there is no harm in making profits. But when you make 500% profits, 1000% profit, that is not really ethical. And all of you know more than me what goes on. And ultimately, who suffers? It is the common man who suffers. The patient suffers. So we have to come out of this vice-like grip of the modern health industry somehow. We have to help to alleviate the suffering of people in a more equitable manner, in a more fair manner. Okay, Dr. Anand. Yes, you have any question? Dr. Ankur? Dr. Ankur is an ENT surgeon from Delhi. Yes? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think I'll have to go to ENT now. So many of the doctors who are attending today were MBBS students here, and then they went on to do their post-graduation and they went back to their respective places and they are practicing there, and this is a kind of get-together we are having for them. Most of them have got married and come back with their spouses, and so that is why we have, and many couldn't come for various reasons, so we try to have this once a year. So Dr. Ankur also is one amongst them who is now an ENT surgeon. Yes, Ankur.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you for the nice talk. Well, in whatever professions can we use the Dakshina model according to the Vedic literature?
Well, it depends. You can use it in any profession, but it depends on your context, because you see, there are many people who will exploit you. If you, even in urban areas, if you would, it can be done, but people will exploit you. It is most likely patients will come and take advantage of you, and you know, because the costs involved in an urban center are very high. And if a doctor sets up something in that kind of a setup, the patients will, many patients will not give any money and they will just go. You never know, if somebody is financially so well established, they want to try it out, it is okay, but it is a little risky. In the rural areas, it is easier to do that. Similarly with other professions. In the rural areas, you can try. I have come across so many of our people in different professions. There are engineers, there are architects, there are various other accountants. And one of the major complaints they have is that people don't pay them. They render service in the most sincere way. They give everything that is required. But then the client doesn't pay. He makes them, you know, wait and pays after many months, and even then they, you know, cut some, they say give discount, do this, do that, they negotiate, they bargain, and then they get so frustrated with the whole thing, they just sometimes drop the idea. So unfortunately, this is our modern day society. You know, Dr. Spersh mentioned in his presentation gratitude. When we receive something from somebody, we should be grateful to that person. And we should understand that this person also has needs. This person is helping us, but that person also has to run his or her family. And there are costs involved. So if people have that culture that we should not exploit the goodness of somebody, then this kind of model can become more practical. But if the people are going to be of a mentality where they are greedy, they want to exploit from somebody, they take advantage of somebody's goodness, then it becomes difficult. So, really, it is a question of changing the values of our society. You see, earlier these things were all Dakshina based. For everything you gave, whatever you felt was necessary. The Vaidyas in the past, the Rishis in our old, they never demanded money because the society was such, they would appreciate. And life was much simpler. Today the cost of living is so high, and everything that you need is, of course, you know, we try to accumulate more than we require, that's another question. But even for bare necessities, things are very expensive in the urban areas now. So while I really hope and wish that such models will proliferate in other disciplines also, to be practical, I think it will be difficult. But if somebody is financially so well off that it doesn't really make a difference if people give or don't give, such a model could be tried. But that usually will require an institutional setup. It happens everywhere, even in our temple, for example. We operate on a Dakshina model. We give prasadam, we give full meals to people in our programs, but we don't charge money. For example, every Sunday we have 1,500 people coming for the satsang, and we give them free prasadam. And then people of their own volition come and say, I would like to sponsor, I would like to donate, and that's how it goes on. We don't demand that you have to pay so much, then you can get to eat this. Of course, we have the other model. We have a Govinda's restaurant model. There they have to pay because that's something that is required. In the old days, you see how the temples were maintained? They had the shelter of the kings. The kings would give vast tracts of land to the temples so that whatever was grown on those lands would then suffice to maintain the temples and the pujaris and all its activities. But today the temples don't have such support. So therefore, some such income generating avenues are also necessary which can support. So even for a temple, we have our section which is running on a Dakshina model, and we have some which is going on a commercial model. So we have a gift shop here, devotional gifts, devotional items. You can purchase by paying something. But for food in the temple program, we don't charge. So in other professions it is possible, but we have to see it with all the problems associated with it. When a society becomes very materialistic, then people become selfish, they become exploitative, they lose gratitude. And in Ramayana, Lord Ram says that Mother Earth is not able to bear the burden of an ungrateful person. But when a society becomes godly, then everyone becomes grateful for even the smallest service received from somebody. And also people want to give more than they receive. This will call for a spiritual and cultural and mental revolution. So also, I don't know what is the future in our project. Whether we will be able to financially maintain by Dakshina model 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, I'm not sure. That is for Lord Krishna to reveal to us what will happen. In the meanwhile, we are going ahead with this and let us see how far it takes us. We have faith that Lord Krishna will somehow maintain. The reciprocation from the patients is very good so far. But as and when more people come, and the young people from the villages who join, they will need to be paid salaries. Then other things, maintenance costs will come. So challenges will come in the years to come. But I wish and hope that a day will come when in different professions we will be able to do this kind of thing. But let us see. Okay, I hope that answers your question. Good. Is there any other question or concern? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for presentation. And I have a simple question to Dr. Sparsh and a comment. So the question is, I'm excited to know more about things that this Dakshina model. Do your patients pay, because it's in a rural setup, do they always give in cash or sometimes in kind, like the, whatever they grow, like vegetables or fruits or something, because mainly it's farm-based community. So I was just curious to know, just a curiosity, that's it. Nice to know. So he has received fruits. Yes, my comment is that it's not a question. Yes, when we got independence, actually, when India got independence, we copied everything, health system, education system, and judicial system, and everything. after copying it, either we overdid it or underdid it. And we see that in many countries where there is socialized medicine, unless we get a reference from GP, the specialist will not give an appointment to us. Unfortunately, in India, there are so many shortcomings. And there's no point, I mean, there's no scope of reaching a super specialist in countries which practice socialized medicine. So we did copy medical system, but we did not, we did many changes and there are so many shortcomings. So definitely there will be challenges to you, Dr. Sparsh, but I'll assure you, you will overcome through this and we are all with you. So thank you so much.
Dr. Kiran again teaches pathology in JNMC. And his wife teaches anatomy. Is she here also? Not here. Okay. Because health is such a vital concern for everybody, we have to think deeply about these models. The health model of the Western world is not sustainable, and the Western countries are discovering it. And as I travel abroad, I see the problems that that the governments are facing, and the patients are facing, and the doctors are facing. Very difficult to sustain. Financially impossible to sustain. Whether it is UK, Australia, America, Scandinavian countries, it is proving very difficult. So we have to focus more on integrative medical care, we have to focus on preventive health care, we have to focus on lifestyle changes, we have to focus on spiritualizing the society. Right? Any other comments or questions? Yes. Yes. Dr. Gowder also was a former student from here and now he is working in the government in Raichur, right?
Chindanur. Taluka Health Officer.
Nearby. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So he's a health officer there, yes?
Maharaj, my question is, nowadays, during these last 5 years, we are come across, we are seeing many mental stress and many suicidal deaths and many untimely deaths in super specialty doctors, among doctors, and doing daily activities, daily exercise, knowing their own health also. We are facing so much mental stress nowadays since 5 years. I don't know what is the main cause.
So your question is that of the stress level in the doctor community.
Yes, ma'am.
And the doctors are committing suicide.
Yes.
Is it so? Okay.
Doctors committing suicide, untimely deaths, like heart disease, like that. Yeah. Below 40 years, we are seeing many deaths occurring in among the doctors.
Yeah. Well, actually, it is not only among doctors, it is happening across the board. Recently, I heard of a 23-year-old boy who had a cardiac arrest, passed away. People who are 40 in other areas of life. It has to do with stress, the kind of lives we are leading, unrealistic targets we are setting ourselves, and it has to do also with lifestyles, you know. So we have to slow down, we have to give priority to certain aspects of our life, and people go overboard sometimes. There were instances where people go to the gymnasium to do, you know, to look after their health, but they overdo it, and because of that they lose their life. It has happened in a couple of celebrated cases in the last few months also, or last 1 year at least. So how to take care of the health by lifestyle is another issue. It's not necessarily just by exercising and doing gymnasium, but it is a whole question of lifestyle.
And sometimes we ourselves are also guilty of that. I talk personally, we also have to travel so much, and we also follow sometimes lifestyles that are not so healthy. Traveling at one place, not being sleeping at night, then you know, having program the next morning, you have not got enough sleep, then you're not able to eat on time, the change of time zone, so many things go on. So it's because of the lifestyle. So yes, what you're saying is a fact, but it is not only for the doctor community, it's happening across the board in the society. It is a major concern. Stress and mental health is one of the biggest concerns. In fact, ailments like depression, etc., are even more, mental health cases are more than any other, according to World Health Organization, even more than ischemic heart disease and other things. That therefore, this holistic approach towards health is very important. It is not just the Deha Roga. We also have to focus on the Bhava Roga and find out the root cause of this Bhava Roga and address it like that. Okay? So now we have prasadam for everybody. Where is it? You'll make an announcement? Okay. So thank you all very much for coming and for your kind and patient attention in hearing this and for your nice questions and comments. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So I'd like to thank His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj for giving his association. Now, okay, we'll take one last question.
One question is there. Jo village mein jo agricultural people hai na Prabhu ji, wo jab grow karte hai any seeds, wo chemical rehta hai. उसी से डॉक्टर का जो भी टैबलेट हम लेते हैं वो उसी से आराम नहीं हो रहे सब लोग, ऐसा भी रिसर्च में आ रहा है प्रभु जी. और इवन स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज ऑल्सो नॉट हैव इन विलेजेस, सो दे आर डूइंग नॉट कम अक्रॉस टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड एंड ऑल्सो दे आर केमिकल पुटिंग ऑन द सीड्स एंड प्लांट्स ऑल्सो एंड फ्रूट्स ऑल्सो, फ्रॉम दैट ओनली कॉजिंग मेनी डिसीजेस एंड सो मच ऑफ लॉट ऑफ स्ट्रेस ऑल्सो हैड came in research program.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. This is one of the biggest problems on sources of our disease. Many times we are not able to understand why certain diseases happen, including cancers. And I would hazard a guess that many of these have to do with food, contaminated food, because of all the pesticides, chemical fertilizers that is used. It is quite shocking the degree and extent to which this is happening. And not just at the level of the farmer, even at the level of the seller, you will find they will spray something to make it shiny and attractive so that people come and buy that apple or whatever fruit. Many vegetables, many fruits like grapes, apples, full of chemical pesticides and they are grown with fertilizers. This is a major issue, major problem. Therefore, in our project in Gokuldham, we are trying to have purely natural, organic food, pure food. Unless there is pure food, it is not possible to have good health. Shuddha ahara, shuddha vihara, shuddha nidra. Yes, so you have very correctly pointed out. सही बात है. वी हैव टू एजुकेट द फार्मर्स ऑल्सो. सो इवन एज ऑफ टूडे इन मेनी प्लेसेस इन उत्तर प्रदेश वी हैव वन ग्रुप नाउ ऑफ आवर डिवोटीज, दे आर इन टच विथ मी, दे आर ऑर्गेनाइजिंग अ सिंपोजियम ऑफ 400 फार्मर्स फ्रॉम ऑल अराउंड, एजुकेटिंग देम, डोंट यूज केमिकल पेस्टिसाइड्स, डोंट यूज केमिकल फर्टिलाइजर्स, इट इज वेरी वेरी हार्मफुल टू हेल्थ. And also people who are dealing, I know of cases where they sell the fertilizers, and because they have to deal with it, they touch it with their fingers, they themselves get affected so much, develop so many diseases and ailments because of that. our society needs changes at many levels if we want to protect our health. We have to go back to our roots. We have to go back to natural and holistic ways of living. Otherwise, health will always be a distant dream. Okay. Thank you very much.
Only one way is there to add in Kerala and so many of Ayurvedic who will do Yajna, means Agnihotra Homa, that after come the ashes, no Prabhu. That yeah. From can we grow anything, Prabhu, without not harming any from chemical. Only that the Agnihotra Homa, that ashes, no, that we can use for agriculture. Researching yes. From Germany also, Prabhu.
Yes, then, there are many such things that can be done. That is also done by many people. Yes.
When Kolkata affected from factory pollution, that 1985.
Yes, yes.
Germany scientists already researched that Agnihotra Homa, and they are doing PhD based on them.
Yes, yes. There is much that is to be done. The modern technology, the pollution is the cause of so much disease also. Yes.
Thank you very much. So now, all the doctors for participating here can proceed for prasadam. Dr. Pankaj and Rohit Prabhu, volunteer here, is there. He'll be taking you to the prasadam hall venue. And the students are sitting here. Please stay back. Devendra Prabhu will discuss with you about the Hampi trip. And you can discuss with him and then proceed for prasadam venue. Thank you very much. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.